You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 27 October, we get an early read of U.S. Q3 GDP this afternoon, quarter on quarter, 2.4% expected. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Komala Mapuane, of course, from ABSA. The bite results, the market did not like them. At first blush, I thought they looked perfectly fine. And then a quick question I'll ask her, Famous Brands versus Spur, after the Famous Brands results. We've got Darren Heal on the line. We'll talk about those results as they returned to pre-pandemic levels. And then Wayne Saru from Old Mutual and when to be buying hard currency. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Dwell time down, but malls see significant increase in foot traffic. Remember all that talk, late 2020, 2021, all the mall operators. We're going to turn these into family places. We're going to get people staying longer. Seems not to be working. Business Day, bonds welcome radically better debt projections from the medium-term budget policy statement. Both government and Eskom bonds rallied on that improved debt outlook. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.75%, NASDAQ down 2.25%. Asia is mixed, with Sydney up 0.5% and Tokyo down 1/5. Commodities all green overnight, gold $1,669 an ounce. Brent, $95.97 a barrel. Platinum, $953. Palladium, $1,979. Rand stronger, $17.94. Bitcoin moving higher, $20,700. Tencent is trading up 2.2% in the Hong Kong lunch break. And the top 40 opening call, 290 points to the red. That's about 0.5% down.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Komala Mapuane. She's portfolio manager, ABSA Asset Management. Komala, appreciate the early morning. Those bites results, they hit my screen early yesterday morning before the market opened. I was having a look at them. The numbers all looked fairly good. Market opened. The market did not like them at all.
No, it was. I think it came as a bit of a shock. As you've mentioned, the results look pretty resilient. GP up, interim dividend declared up, top line up. I think it's more the sector that it's in and the overhang of what's happening across the globe. So specifically what happened in China with tech stocks. But more importantly, I think with the Microsoft results, it came out, I think, about 24 hours or 36 hours before these came out. And we saw Microsoft down 7% after it came out with its results. And that was on the back of very cautious investors. The outlook in terms of which way will we go, PC sales were down for Microsoft, etc. So I think it was more an overhang of the global macro economic risks. And that has come through, unfortunately. You saw the rest of the market was pretty resilient yesterday across the JSE.
Yeah, I take your point on that. The sort of broader fears. I thought maybe also the just fears around the UK, but I suspect probably not because that's being ongoing and that wasn't a sudden event. I'm chatting with Darren Hale immediately after you, Famous Brands results. Back at pre-pandemic levels, the question everyone's asking is, Famous Brands or Spurs, their preference or neither or maybe even both?
It's such a difficult one to answer, and I've been pondering that one for a bit. As you've mentioned, both of them are now back to pre-pandemic levels. And we've discussed this before, you know, the economy's lockdown's basically gone from June, so that has had a significant tailwind for most of these fast food and takeaways. And as it stands, Famous Brands did mention yesterday, and I think it's the same thing for Spur, that these guys have definitely seen an uptick in terms of takeaway specifically. Yeah. So not necessarily getting the footfall, but definitely an increase and a recovery, as you've mentioned. between the two, such a hard one. I actually don't think know which way to toss the coin on this one, so I think I won't do that. But maybe more importantly, watch it cautiously for a story that is likely to get some tailwind if we have a good festive season.
Festive season, I'm going to ask Darren Hull about that. And there is an option, and it's not even a cop-out. I look, sometimes will look at two shares, unable to decide, and sort of take a bit of both. Am I not doing enough homework when I do that?
It really depends on the shares, but yeah, I mean, if you feel that in that sector you could have both of them and there's value to the upside, then definitely I would add them both to the portfolio, but lots more work before I make that final decision.
Yeah, I usually think if I can't pick, I'm missing something. I need to be able to divide them somewhere. Kamran Mepoani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. Always appreciate the early morning insights.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor, and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Darren Hill, CEO of Famous Brands. Results for 6 months ending August, revenue up 19%, headline earnings up 121%. That's a largely base effect. Dividend around 30. Darren, appreciate the time. Your revenue, your profits, you're ahead of where you were pre-pandemic. If I go back to the August 2019 numbers.
Yeah, particularly if you strip out GBK, Simon, at the time it was a bit confusing. But we're not where we'd like to be, but certainly back to those kind of levels. I mean, given the inflation effect, we're probably not quite there in real terms, but we'll take it right now.
Absolutely. And you do comment in the results. You're seeing consumers returning. And I know I go out there, I go get a burger, I go get a dinner. It is filling up again, although you do comment that price increases have been a reality so far this year and probably more coming.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that's going to, kind of make things a little bit more difficult and people will look at the total bill. So we are seeing people sort of trading down. So we are going to have a bit of headwind. But I think that there is momentum, and I think people just shop slightly differently but still try and get out and use what they can in terms of their budget.
That's my sense. I mean, perhaps you still go to whichever it might be, but maybe a smaller fries or maybe less wine with the meal or something like that. We still want that experience. And in many cases, it's also with some of your QSR, it's about the pressed-in-time consumer.
Yeah, so that's the balance of both. I think people want quality in terms of getting out and doing a bit of shopping and having the time to do it. But also, in terms of people under pressure, we're still seeing QSR filling as a home meal replacement, which is a nice space for us. The price point is right. So people are, starting to get busy again and time poor and cash rich.
Absolutely. And I'm imagining you're probably expecting a fairly good year-end season. I mean, I've spoken to some of the car hire companies. We can see what's happening with airline prices. People are going to be out over December.
Yeah, given the suppressed 20 and 21 season, we are optimistic. I think the only challenge may well be fuel prices and ticket prices, but we think that the road traffic side is going to definitely pick up. So we're well positioned to capitalize on that.
One of the issues that we're experiencing, of course, is load shedding. How many of your sites have backup power, and at what sort of cost?
We've got around 62% of sites that are covered. So I mean, that's backup power. So that may well be from the facility they're in or their own power. Mm-hmm. Some are just pretty impractical to be able to do given the environment or just not justify it. So we're pretty well covered in that respect. I mean, we'd love it to be better. And I think as the pressure builds, we're going to have to crank up that coverage now, because in stage two or three you can get away with it, but just the severity of what we've experienced in September has just been another wake-up call.
Yeah, that severity and duration and frequency. Your signature brands, which are the sort of slightly fancier sit-down dining, they're the ones that seem to be perhaps lagging over your other brands.
Yeah, we've seen a nice recovery, though, in terms of revenue. We've just got to get our profitability model right for ourselves as the franchisor. We're still probably investing ahead of the curve there, which has been made difficult through, you know, through the COVID period with not having the kind of volume we require. So, yeah, we're still cautiously optimistic. You know, we've got work to do and we need to get to critical mass there to get, you know, some kind of decent margin. I mean, the current margin is just too low to be sustainable for us.
Your group margin overall 11%, although you make the point that there was a slight benefit because you picked up a payment out of the Gourmet Burger Kitchen bankruptcy there out of the UK. Is there scope, I mean, to push that higher? I mean, I'm going back a decade now, when I mean, your margin was probably maybe close to double that, or maybe high teens, if my memory is correct.
Yeah, no, you're correct, Simon. I mean, that was, you know, at a point in time. I don't think we'll get there. I think the mix in the business is very different. And I think the pressures on the supply chain are quite different. You know, in those days, that was quite a big contributor. And we didn't really have signature brands then. But look, we're certainly under-indexing where we are now. So we know that margin is going to grow. And I think probably getting back to, you know, levels of around where we were 2016, is a bit of a way off, but certainly a lot better than where we are now. So I think probably, you know, lower teens is probably more the number.
Okay, lower teens. Last question, and I walk through shopping malls. I'm seeing a lot of empty sites and the like. Are you sort of finding maybe some great locations and perhaps even at decent prices suddenly available for some of your brands?
Yeah, definitely opportunities. I wouldn't say decent prices. I'd say probably more reasonable prices than they were. I think the landlords haven't softened that much, but there's a more of a realistic conversation taking place. So definitely, we're quite excited about that aspect, and we're definitely seeing some nice prospects coming down the line, and the conversations are, you know, a lot more realistic, and it's creating opportunity.
I'm imagining, however, I mean, across the range of brands that you have, I mean, you're not quite an anchor tenant like a Woolies or a Checkers, perhaps, but having a food court and having maybe a Mug and Bean, a Wimpy, a Steers, whatever it might be, this is important to a shopping centre. It's part of what they need to have.
Yeah, definitely. Look, landlords are spoiled for choice. So, I mean, they have a repertoire of brands, but I mean, certainly our brands come up high on consumer research, so, you know, it's to the landlord's benefit to have us there in terms of satisfying those needs. And obviously wanting a tenant that's going to be able to pay the rent to sustain the revenues over time and be able to, you know, sustain any downturn as well as keep up with the standards. And I think that landlords are seeing that, you know, we bring that to the party. We give them the consistency they require around food safety and customer service and anything else that is required in an ever-changing legislative environment.
We'll leave it there. That's Darren Huey, CEO of Famous Brands. Results for 6 months ending August. Darren, appreciate the time as always.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Wayne Saru. He's head Old Mutual International Sales and Distribution. Wayne, appreciate the early morning time. The argument for going offshore, I mean, it's almost, I mean, it's not even an argument anymore. It is just a part of a balanced portfolio, in large part because of the increased choice and quality offshore. We've got some great companies in South Africa. We just don't have many of them.
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, since we've been given opportunity good years ago to start diversifying offshore, people that have made use of that opportunity, you know, it's been good for them. The choices are just that many more in the different sectors to invest in, you know, whether it be healthcare, technology. There are just so many more quality companies offshore. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's definitely the best way to diversify.
And but part of the problem, so then the question is, when do we move our money offshore? And you make the point in a note you put out recently, is that the sort of the ordinary South African tends to, we kind of move money when pessimism is at its peak. We kind of like panic, like, you know, Nkankanene gets fired, the rand collapses, and we all rush money offshore, and 3 months later it's looking a whole lot better. We need a more practical sort of strategy around it.
Yeah, I must say, I think, you know, generally South Africans have got better at that. I mean, if you look at the moment, you know, the Rand dollars at 18 to 1, I see it came beneath 18 this morning. But generally speaking, you know, in our business, it's been very quiet. And I think besides, obviously, all the turmoil happening in the world, it's a big part of it is because nobody wants to convert rands at 18 to 1 to the dollar. But generally speaking, unfortunately, the markets and the rand are not correlated. You know, so while we wait now for the rand to maybe get back to better levels of, I don't know, 16, 15 or whatever it might be to the dollar, you probably find the market. So if you go, if you're waiting for 15 to 1, that's a, you know, that's a 20% correction in the currency, but you probably find that the markets would have picked up by 20% as well. You know, so you're waiting for the rand to get better, but you're losing out on, you know, on the market pickup. Obviously, saying that you are going to invest into equities, you know, when get on the other side.
That's a great point.
But, yeah, unfortunately, it's not correlated. Yeah.
Yeah, but I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, you see the rand going stronger, but I mean, at the same time, you then see those offshore markets going stronger. So net-net, you've waited, but you're in exactly the same place. I suppose it is, it's that waiting for the perfect time. And truthfully, we know that in hindsight. We never know it at the pointy end of now.
Yes, unfortunately, if we had the crystal ball, it'll be much easier, but we don't. And with currencies, it's even more difficult, markets as well. I mean, if you take in March 2020, when markets corrected, 30%, the rand also went to 18. Now, you could say, well, if you bought in at 18, the markets picked up 30%, so you're fine, you know. And the other thing is also, it also depends In what do clients measure their investment? So a lot of people take money offshore for various reasons. One could be for education. One could be for political hedging. One could be, you know, for when you travel, a holiday in five years' time or whatever. Well, then the rand doesn't matter really. You need to take the money out, invest it then in hard currency on that side, and wait for your child to be educated. Then it doesn't really matter. It's when you measure your offshore investment in rand. Yes, that the currency, you know, will play a role. But there again, you know, you probably find that in most instances, you've had a good market pickup where you've maybe bought the rand a little bit more expensive, but it nets itself out, as you said earlier.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I hadn't thought of that because we do. We take our currency so personally in South Africa, and maybe other emerging markets do, but it kind of hurts us when it goes down, and then we do take it offshore and we look at it. And I've made this point a couple of times. I bought some ZAR. I have a schedule. I just buy every second month. I bought some ZAR at $17, and at the time it felt really, really painful, except here we sit at 18. Yeah. You know, 17 was the highest I'd ever paid. But if we roll forward 5 or 10 years, 20 years into the future, we're going to wish for 18.
Yes. I mean, if you believe the rand's going to devalue, which I think most people do, then, you know, in 5, 10 years' time, you probably won't even remember what you bought the currency at.
Yeah.
And a good point that you mentioned is in times like this is if you've got a fair amount of money that you want to invest offshore is probably to phase it in. You know, so if you're going to invest $1 million, take 300 now and buy some currency in 3-4 months time, you know, take another 300. So you kind of like hedge out that volatility as well.
Actually, that's a cunning point as well. If you are worried and you're worried where the rand's going to go, but as you say, net off. I mean, there's pros and cons. I suppose find a strategy. Don't let the political temperature drive you and stick to your strategy and stop looking at the currency. Look at what you're buying. That's what matters. Wayne Saroot, really appreciate the time. Head Old Mutual International Sales and Distribution. That's it for today. A poll on our LinkedIn and Twitter, chatting with Darren Hill there about those Famous Brand results, asking Carmen Mepelwani whether she preferred Famous Brands or Spur. That's the question we're putting to you on Twitter and LinkedIn. Spur for the kids, Famous Brands for the breakfasts, maybe a bit of both, maybe neither for you. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m, podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking with David Buckham, his new book, Age of Menace.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.